check-in kids are five, three, three.
I check into six.
Okay, let's call it over to the work session for City Council, City of Lapine, 6:00 PM, February 28th, 2018. Establish a quorum.
Trent Tennant, present.
Craig Heaton, present.
Don Dyer, present.
Connie Bruce, present.
Stu Martinez, present.
Okay, we have a quorum. Pledge of Allegiance. Gary's here.
Craig.
Where's it? Over there.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, any added agenda items? Corey, you got anything?
Staff doesn't have anything tonight, okay.
Any council members have anything? Nothing? Okay. Moving right along. Public comments? Any public comments over there? Nothing? Wow. Okay, let's get right down to the nitty-gritty. Discussion with Anderson Perry regarding water and sewer expansion improvement project.
Right, Brandon on up here.
Yeah, we got Brandon up here.
I'll see here.
Give us a full scoop.
All righty.
It's all you, Brandon.
So, I put a little handout together, at least just lead us through a bit of a discussion tonight. Is this all mine, or you got anything you wanna kick it off, or you just hand it over to the reins?
I'll tee it up briefly, but then I'll gladly hand it to you and let you do the chatting.
Okay.
Going back into the end of last year, as all you recall, we put out the RFP for the engineering and design services for the large water wastewater projects. So, we got great news on the funding package, you know, about $9.5 million in grants. You know, the next step was, well, we gotta spend some serious time, hopefully around a year, plus or minus, maybe a little more, to get it all engineered and designed. We have a sense of what the projects are, but boots on the ground, you know, drones flying over for LiDAR, and anyways, getting into the details. Anyways, put out the RFP, and through the selection process on the selection committee, it was Jake, Public Works Manager, the mayor, myself, and Eric Huffman, City Engineer of Record. And through the proposals that were submitted, Anderson Perry was the highest scored proposer. And we have been essentially in contract negotiations with them, ironing out the contract language, which is not necessarily what Brandon's gonna be spending time on, but wanted him to be here tonight to give everyone a good refresher and an opportunity to talk through, again, what the projects are, where we're at in terms of funding, you know, where we've been, where we're at, and where we're headed, based on the contracts that are up for all of your approval later tonight that would lock in Anderson Perry as our design engineer for those projects. So, that's it. I'll pass it to you.
Perfect. So, let's talk a little bit, like Corey said, just a brief overview. It's been a while since we've met with council, and just touch base a little bit on the project overview. As far as the water system improvement project goes, again, we completed a water system study and found that to bring Cagle and Glenwood Acres into the system, we needed to increase supply, drill a new well, and that included a pump station and then a reservoir as well. And so, that's really what we're calling the kind of water system improvements portion of that project. And then obviously, there's a lot of distribution system improvements, some in the industrial park area that we found as far as in our hydraulic models, deficiencies in the existing system, and then obviously the extension out into Cagle and Glenwood to serve all those folks. Again, as a reminder, the total project costs, a little over $10.6 million for that. Funders, including USDA, Business Oregon, and the city are all pooling into to come up with that $10.6 million. The wastewater system improvements project, again, through the wastewater system study, in bringing Cagle on, there was a deficiency in your hydraulic capacity through your treatment system. And so, you still had treatment capacity, but we had an issue with hydraulics, essentially being able to store the wastewater long enough before we could irrigate it. And so, that project includes a new storage lagoon, some pump station improvements, and then moving the disposal area from your current 75-acre pivot to a couple 105-acre pivots on your property east of your existing treatment plant. And so again, that's kind of the, oh, and the septic receiving station is one that we're wanting to take care of. So we be sure and do that for anybody that's been out there. That's pretty high priority, take care of that and get some new equipment out there. Collection system improvements will include extending the collection system out into Cagle and Glenwood, likely a couple of lift stations to serve that area and bring them into the system. Again, total project cost, just over $14 million. Funders include USDA, DEQ, Business Oregon through both CDBG and the water wastewater, and then the city obviously contributed funds as well. Any questions on the projects themselves before I move on? Just kind of, you know, like breeze through that, but I think we've, for most of us, I know, so we got new faces, but I've talked about it quite a bit, so I think everybody's pretty comfortable with what the projects are, but anything on that before I march through here?
Don't believe so.
Okay, just throw something at me if you change your mind to it. Funding overview. Sent too close to Jake to make jokes like that. Again, this is the exciting part for me. Just kind of floors me every time I put this into writing. For the project total, just over $12.5 million in loans, and like Corey mentioned, over $9.5 million in grants, which is amazing. I mean, that's an awesome feat in itself. And then the city contributing just about $2.5 million. And again, as we've talked and through the analysis that we have at this time, with these estimated costs and the funding package, you know, you're looking at combined rates of somewhere in the low to mid 80s, high 80s at the worst. So, I mean, that's a really, really great place to be for getting $24 million worth of projects done. So that's really great.
That's great. That's
yep.
Lower than anticipated.
Right, yep, exactly. I think when we first started this process, you know, over 2 years ago, I think we were comfortable telling people it'll be under $100,
right.
You know, it'll be under $100 combined. And so yeah, that's really great. A document that we put together from some funding applications. This is preliminary, it's not anything final, but just to give you a feel for what this is going to entail. Each of these, one for water, one for wastewater, is a summary of the estimated cost and the funding breakdown. And so what's going to happen is each one of these funders is going to have a pot of money going towards specific items. And so as part of our job is to keep that straight and you know, administer the contract so that we know where each one of these line items are going, where construction funds are being spent, who's paying for what. And so this gives you a breakdown of each component and each one of your items here. I'm not going to go into this in great detail. You guys can take a look at it. This is pretty consistent. It's actually exactly consistent with the funding applications that we put together in the past. So.
That's a critical point in my mind, is that the, you know, when we do get to consideration of the agreements later in the evening council, the numbers that Anderson Perry was including in there, you know, it's in line with those numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In terms of what the engineering fee would be. So
yep.
Anyways, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
No
yep.
surprise there.
Exactly. And so really all this does is everything kind of the left half of that is what was in your funding application. Just here's the big number. We don't know who's paying for what yet. And so as we start moving through design and construction, the funding agency, kind of the right half of these sheets, that's where it starts getting to where, you know, we need to know who's paying for the grant administration and what funds and who we're requesting that money from. With these funders, it's not as bad. I'll talk a little bit about Prineville later and give you an example. But for that project, there was six funders, and you had two or three of them that were, you know, we'll pay for this, but we're not paying for that. And so it ended up being a contract administration nightmare. And so I don't think we're in that bad a shape here, but it's going to be some organizational feats to take care of all that. So, but I think for $9.5 million, we'll figure it out. So,
mm-hmm.
As far as our proposal and our approach, Corey brought up a good point that, you know, the mayor and him and Jake and Eric were involved in the proposal evaluation. But a lot of you folks haven't seen our proposals, and so what I did is I printed off a copy of our proposal for your late night reading tonight, get you to sleep, and just want to talk a little bit about our approach and how we're going to attack these large projects. I won't obviously read through this. I'll let you glance through the pretty pictures and the smiling faces, but. Talk a little bit about our project team and our three project approach. So when we first started talking about these projects, it and what you typically see in a in engineering design is you've got a water system and you've got a wastewater system. And so we initially considered kind of attacking the design and construction that way of having a water system improvements project and a wastewater system improvements project. And then, you know, in discussions and kicking it around, thinking about it, a real critical component of this is obviously Cable and Glenwood and those construction efforts. And there's been a couple things we've talked about throughout this entire process is we don't want to complete a project, go out there and rip up everybody's street, patch it all back up, make it nice, and then come back 2 years later and rip up the other side of the street. And so we've talked about trying to keep that, you know, one consistent time frame when that construction occurs. The other thing we started thinking about was, well, if we bid a water project over here and you bid a wastewater project over here, you could potentially have a water contractor going down the road one way and then a wastewater contractor, you could have conflicts and it'd be really difficult to manage it, to administer it. And so our approach, what we've done is we're going to break this out into three separate projects. And so we've got the water system project, which include the well, the pump station, the reservoir, and the transmission line. So kind of your water supply storage capacity project. And then we'll have the wastewater project, which would be the storage and the disposal area, which would be, again, your wastewater capacity improvement project. And then finally, we'll have a Cable and Glenwood project separate to where there's one contractor out there just doing pipe, just focusing on the Cable and Glenwood area. So there's not potential for conflicts. We'll make a lot cleaner bid set, a lot of benefits there. As far as benefits, I've got a few listed here. I think it's going to provide us a lot of flexibility in award and execution. In my mind, an award, if you went out and had a $20 million construction project, you're going to get a handful of contractors that are going to bid on that. If we break it up into three, $6 and $7 million projects, that's a lot more contractors you're going to be able to reach, especially local folks that are going to be able to come bid on that project. And so I think there's some advantages there. As far as your budget goes, I think there's some flexibility there as well as, if we award one project and bid it and, hey, maybe it was a little bit over budget, but then the next one, hey, maybe it's a little bit under budget. I think that gives us some flexibility as we roll these out to make sure that everything's covered. Again, I mentioned the plan sets. If you can imagine if you've had a water set over here and a wastewater set over here, going down one of those roads out in Cagle, you've got two different plan sets that you need to look at to build those lines. The way we're proposing it, a single plan set would have both water and wastewater improvements in those neighborhoods on one plan set. And so I think that'll make for a nice, clean, concise way to build it. And it'll also limit conflicts between multiple contractors, having to communicate and coordinate that way. Again, the wider pool of contractors, mentioned that. Doesn't overburden city staff or city systems. We got talking about the construction into that, the engineering in that, and there was a potential that we were like, well, we're going to need four reps. We're going to need four people down there because there could be somebody building wastewater, there could be somebody working up on the reservoir, there could be somebody in Cagle. I mean, we could have four different construction crews all at one time, and that would just be, that could get extremely hectic, not only for staff, but also for the systems, if you're having to shut systems down to tie in and things like that. And then finally, another thing that we've talked about from the very beginning is we're going to complete the capacity improvements for both the systems before we bring Cagle and Glenwood Acres onto the system. So we don't want to go finish Cagle and Glenwood, fire that up, then all of a sudden you've got this huge drain on the water system or this huge contribution to the wastewater system that really isn't, built for it yet. And so the way we're phasing it out is going to help with that. And then finally, our GIS approach, something else we're pretty excited about. Rusty Merritt in our office, our GIS manager, has been working with Jake as far as your guys' GIS system. And so not only through design are we going to be able to go through and utilize our GIS capabilities and your guys' GIS system to help really streamline our design work. In essence, we have to go out and find 275 septic tanks and figure out where they are and how we're going to connect to them. But then also through construction, we're going to be able to, in real time, create record drawings and know exactly where every pipe is, know exactly where every septic tank is.
Upload it to that mapping system live.
Exactly. So we'll be able to, as it's getting built, instead of traditionally you build it and then you go back to the office and you mark up record drawings and hand them a set of paper drawings, it's going to be a real time, this is exactly where everything landed. So we're really excited about that. So that's that in a very quick nutshell is kind of our approach and how we're looking at attacking these projects. I know there's going to be a lot more layers to it, and as we move forward, we'll have a lot more in-depth discussion and get into more details. But just wanted to come tonight and be sure and give you guys an idea of what we've got in store and where we're headed in our thought process, and give you guys the opportunity to ask any questions or anything you have on your mind there as far as our approach.
Stu, you have anything? No? Connie?
No, I'm just excited.
Oh, good.
I mean, this is...
I didn't know if that was a nervous chuckle or...
Wasn't sure what that was. That's why I was holding out for a minute here.
It's amazing, you know, what you're talking about that's transpired over the last year or two years. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just seeing Jake's little light flashing up here. It's just all the new exciting state-of-the-art equipment and tracking that you're going to have. I mean, it's great.
So. Don, do you have anything? Any questions so far?
I think I went over some of the stuff. I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
And Craig?
I live in Cagle, and one of my questions, I guess, is the outreach. How is that going to be approached to the homeowners?
We
were just talking about that last week.
And that's kind of on our next steps here. We can talk about that a little bit.
Can I go back before we jump
ahead?
Absolutely.
On the three project approach, I was all with you until you said they were all going to be on the same set of plans. So could you explain how you're going to do that a little bit?
Let me see if I can. I should have brought a graphic, but think more geographically instead of water system versus wastewater system. So the water system improvements are happening, you know, out here where we're going to put a new tank and well. And so that'll be a plan set. There'll be a set of sheets there. And then the wastewater is happening over here. And so that'll be a set of sheets. And so if we had done them water and wastewater, all of the distribution improvements in Cagle would be on this sheet. And then you'd have to come to this set to get the wastewater. So we're going to make a third plan set that'll just have water and wastewater on one plan set. So everything in Cagle, as a contractor's building down the road, he'll have both on the same sheet, so he's not having two different projects to...
Just like when we went and saw the well site, up there with the reservoir and the pumps, that would be one project. So that would be one of the first projects that would get put in. And then on the same token, there'd be another project at the wastewater treatment plant where they'd be building another lagoon. All those pivots would be its own plan set. Then the last plan set would be Cagle neighborhood, putting all the piping in the ground that feeds off that well site and goes to that treatment plant, which makes a lot of sense because you don't want to build that stuff in Cagle unless you got a way to feed it or dispose of it.
Yeah.
And then when you say the three project approach, are you talking about bidding them out separately? Is that what I...
At this time, we're talking about it. There may be opportunity. We've got it shown that we are. We may be able to bid the water and the Cagle improvements together. The thing with water that we're going to have a little bit of lag on is getting finding a well site, because we're trying to get property from the Forest Service currently, or an easement or some access that way. And so that's going to take some effort, and we're still kind of fleshing that out. So wastewater, all those improvements, you guys own that land, or it's in right away. So we can start on that, you know, right away. The water's going to have a bit of a lag. And then again, we want to have enough flexibility in the contracts, whether we've still talked a little bit about, do we do three separate contracts or do you bid it in schedules? Different engineers like to say that others, one way's better than the other. There's some pros, some cons. So we're still kind of evaluating that as to what's the cleanest, easiest to administer, keep track of. So those are still kind of getting fleshed out. But at this point, we've got it lined out with three separate contracts. Yeah.
But what you're saying is if it takes some time to get that land acquired,
exactly,
maybe at that point we put those two projects together, the Cagle and the water site, or
something
of that nature is what you're getting at?
Yep, potentially. Okay. Depending on how that shakes out, it may. This will kind of play in.
Craig, you have anything else?
We'll get on to the outreach
next phase.
And
I'm just going to ask you,
sure,
it may seem like stupid questions,
no way,
but what I'm going to be. what I'm asked by the public, but is this going to be down the center of the road, the side of the road, or the right of way, or whereabouts is everything planned?
I think right through your front yard, I think, is where we got lined up. No, likely one on each side. A lot of times sewer will go down the center of the road. You have to have, there's separation requirements depending on how deep things are and everything, but likely one on each side of the right of way, depending on where telephone is or gas lines are. And so that's where you really got to get out there and survey and get that information before you really know the alignment. But and it could vary. I mean, some roads it could be down the middle. Other roads there may be a gas line on this shoulder and we need to go in the middle. So it really just depends on what's there and what we find.
Yeah, no, we're basically planning on doing all the city improvements before you even move out into the subdivisions.
Right. Yep, that's the intent. Yep. Get the capacity.
So that will be the last piece of it.
Yep, exactly. So this kind of helps illustrate what we've got in mind here.
Okay.
And maybe this will help clear up some of the discussion. So if we're in March of 2018, tomorrow, our intent is, and we try to kind of color code these. So as far as the wastewater design in green, we can start that design, you know, once we execute contracts, and we've started doing preliminary stuff, but and then start water land acquisition. So again, we need to find a well site and an area to put the well in the reservoir, and then start Cagle Glenwood wastewater design. And so the reason we're doing that, starting that design early, even though it's going to be the last thing to be built, is there's a requirement through your funding through CDBG to have those dollars expended by March 19th or March 16th, 2019, something like that. And so we're going to complete that design and then essentially sit on it while we finish the water design in that area and then build it afterwards. So then we'd finish wastewater design again February to meet that March deadline, bid the wastewater improvements, and then construct the wastewater, you know, roughly 2020. 2019, spring of 2019 through the spring of 2020. And these are rough estimates. I mean, this is just kind of ballparkish. It's tough saying, especially in Lapine, if we have a winter like we did this year, you know, they might get an extra 2 or 3 months of construction that they wouldn't have the year before, you know. And so we've accounted for some winter shutdown time in these rough schedules. As far as water goes, start water land acquisition, hopefully wrap that up in about a year. That may seem like a long time, but if we're working with the Forest Service and continue down that path, if we get it done in a year, then that's probably pretty expedient when you're talking about working with the Forest Service. So hoping to do that. The approach we'll have here, and you'll notice another bid item here, is we will design and bid well number 3, the new well, first. And so the reasoning there is you design that, you construct it and drill the well, because you really don't know what your capacity of that well is until you drill it. And so you don't want to design a pump station and a reservoir until you know what your capacity of the well is. So we'll drill the well, develop it, figure out what we have there, and then finish the design for the pump station and the reservoir. Finish that water design, and then again stagger that out and have water construction spring of 2020 to 21. Finish the Cagle water design at the same time. And then that's where we may have the opportunity, depending on where those shake out, we could potentially bid those together. We could bid them as schedules. We could bid them as separate contracts, but bid them kind of the same time. That'll all kind of shake out as we get there. So, any questions on this thing? I mean, it's kind of loose and schematic, but it gives you an idea of kind of how these are going to kind of fall in front of us here.
Okay. Is this something we could share with the public?
Yeah, I think we are.
We had a public meeting.
Yeah.
We can do that. It pretty much falls in line with what we've been saying for the last couple of years anyway, is that it's going to take a year to get funding, it's going to take at least a year to design it, and then it's going to be a couple of years for construction. And so, you know, we've been talking about the kind of around the 2020 date, but looking like it's probably going to shift into 2021, which is understandable when you've got projects of this size and scope.
Yeah, and with this approach, this three-phase approach and kind of staggering out, it is adding some time to the schedule, there's no doubt about that. But I think both from a flexibility of award and just the logistics of building it, I mean, I think it's best for everybody. I think it makes sense. Not trying to overload everybody and bang $20 million worth of projects out in the summer. I think it makes a lot of sense that way.
my hope would maybe be that this water construction could shift even 6 months forward.
Yeah.
In regards to being done sooner.
Yeah.
But again, I know there's a lot of what ifs in the next 12 months to 18 months that we've got to get through first.
Yep, exactly.
So this is, I don't want to say worst case scenario, but this is.
This is today's guess.
This is today's guess. I couldn't have said it better. Yep, that's exactly it.
If the Forest Service stuff goes quick, then that would definitely shorten that time frame on the water construction.
Yeah.
But that's the wild card right there.
I feel pretty good about the wastewater. We have to have that design done by March. I mean, that's when the money's gone. So that needs to be done. And then the construction window for that project and the amount of work to be done, I feel pretty good about that time frame. The water really is a wild card. I mean, the Forest Service could throw curveballs at us for years, and or they could work really well with us and go smooth. And this is, you know, conservative. But that's kind of the wild card in all of this is what will happen there. So.
Yeah. Okay, that, you know, that's going to be the public continues to ask.
Yep.
And this is the lengthiest amount of time that it would probably take.
Yeah,
be shorter.
I would think so. Yep, I would think so.
I get several phone calls a week, same questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why it'd be nice to post this in different areas so we don't have to ask all these questions.
Right.
They can see it in black and white or colored or whatever.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, and getting to the steel Brandon's thunder, but and Craig's question, but getting to the outreach component, I mean, we've definitely got plans, and that's one of the things we wanted to talk about tonight was, you know, it's time for another open house. It's time for another opportunity to get information out about, you know, now we're in a whole nother phase, and we're going to have more regular updates probably every quarter.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
And this timeline will be, or, you know, it'll be dynamic. You know, we'll know more in 6 months than we do now. We'll have our best guess then, and we'll keep the public informed.
Yep.
Go from there.
Yep. So as far as next steps and kind of where we're headed, obviously not to, I don't want to jump in front of the agreements, but as far as the projects moving forward, our next steps, outreach, like you mentioned, is going to be a big item. And one of the things that's, you know, at the end of the day, the engineering design of a lot of this isn't overly complex. It's not a big wastewater treatment plant that's state of the art. That's, you know, takes a lot of, it's not rocket science, I should say, but we're literally going to have 275 plus septic tanks that we need to go march through a backyard, find, figure out what kind of shape it's in, decide if we can use it or if we need to replace it. So there's just going to be a lot of churning, you know, a lot of legwork. And so as far as that outreach to homeowners, that is our next step, and we're starting to work on drafting. I'm going to draft a letter, and we'll get it on city letterhead and send to those folks, essentially describe the projects, let them know where we're at, you know, give them an update, and then let them know what our next process is, because that is our next process, is really the data acquisition and starting to figure out, survey, you know, where are these septic tanks, which ones can we use, what kind of shape are they in. If it's the old steel one out in the back 40, we know we're going to replace it. If it's a brand new one that's right by the road, that, you know, we can probably keep that and just connect to it. And so that's definitely our next step, is to draft that letter, start getting folks aware that there's going to be people in bright orange vests stomping around and hopefully come and have permission to walk through their yard and find their septic tank and start getting that data collected. So that answer your question as far as I think, and what we talked about too, is we'll start with a letter, try to get as many homeowners as we can. There's obviously homeowners that don't live in the area, and so we're gonna have renters that we need to cooperate with. And so we talked about also doing door hangers, you know, give them some information on a door hanger and give them numbers to call. So that's gonna be, again, like I say, that's a lot of the process, is we're gonna have to get, you know, we're gonna get permission from folks and start pulling up all that data. So that's going to be the big effort for quite a while. So,
and in terms of that letter, could go out in March and April.
Yeah, hopefully soon.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because as soon as we're out of snow, we want to be able to be out there and be finding stuff and surveying and getting moving. So
good.
Yeah.
So that's soon.
Yeah.
And it's going to be you know, we know it's going to be a process reaching out to all these property owners and engaging them on a one-on-one basis, and some are going to be more receptive than others.
Right.
And there's going to be all kinds of situations from A to Z, and so we're gonna have to just deal with it case by case.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we'll probably identify maybe some of the troubled or more tricky scenarios early
right.
on, hopefully,
yeah.
and
yeah.
can work proactively and
yep.
Progressively through those.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so Anderson Perry is well aware of that unique element.
Yeah, they've done it before. But,
yeah.
Are we gonna have a staff member? City staff member help out on this, or is all Anderson Perry?
I would say early on, probably not. I think our first step here, as far as the outreach and the first data acquisition, again, those are their septic tanks. I mean, it's not like you guys have a city easement to it yet. And so we're not going to talk about agreements. We're not going to talk about easements. We're not going to talk about ownership just yet. We just, here's the project. Here's what's coming. We need this data. Can we come shoot your septic tank and get a data point? Eventually, we do need to start talking about easements and who's maintaining them, and those I think would be a good time to start bringing Jake and staff and let them know what the plan is.
What takes meet our specs currently, what takes don't.
Right.
We're going to build that rapport
yep.
and we're going to look at it and see exactly what we can use and what we can't use.
Yep.
So we'll be involved in that pretty heavily.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. This first phase, the trudging through the backyard to find a septic tank and shoot it, I mean, we don't need to waste Jake's time with that, but eventually there'll definitely be a lot of face-to-face and talking about where things are and what the
approach
will be.
I know how to find things pretty good, though.
Right.
I'll help you a little bit at first.
Yeah, yeah. So
I found a few.
That's our next approach there. And then outreach, obviously, to agencies. We still have some funding items that we need to wrap up and keep those things moving along. And then, again, you know, Forest Service, BLM, DEQ, Drinking Water Services, just keeping all those folks in the loop and let them know what we're doing, what our approach is, and where we're headed. So any more questions on outreach and kind of next steps there? I think Corey's got a great point. I think public meetings will be great. You know, I think as letters start going out, I think we might see a lot more people showing up at meetings. And, you know, rubber's getting ready to hit the road. So I think folks are going to start getting more engaged and seeing stuff happening. So.
Yeah, tentatively speaking, I think we talked about maybe April, May for another open house, and we could do that at, again, the senior center. It might be a good venue. And we'll mail property owners again, or we don't necessarily need to piggyback with that letter on that. We can do it separately, but soon. You know, it's gonna be March tomorrow, and so that's in the next month and a half, and
right.
we'd be trying to line something up to give them a more thorough understanding of what to expect in the next 6 months, the next 12 months, the next
right.
36 months. Yeah.
Right. Yep. Okay, so that's outreach. And then as far as actually getting into the nitty-gritty of the design, the next step obviously would be to survey. And part of that is going out and getting, you know, where the utilities are, where the septic tanks are. But something that we're going to do with part of this project that actually pretty exciting is it's such a large area. And so to go out and survey it, you know, in a traditional fashion, have a surveyor out there taking his shots to do 10,000 miles of road would take a lot of time and be pretty expensive. And so we're going to, like Corey alluded to, have it flown. And so they're going to fly it two different times. And they'll fly it and get LIDAR data, and so that we can actually have a topographic map that's accurate to within a couple tenths from the plane. And what's nice about this is it's such a large area and there's such an economy of scale, we're going to fly the entire town. We're going to have them fly all of Lapine, all of your facilities, you know, your existing reservoir, your existing wastewater treatment. And so that's more data that we're going to be able to flop into Jake's GIS system. And so he'll have a complete topographical map of the entire city. And then they're going to fly it a second time and take imagery. So actually take photogrammetric pictures so that they'll be orthoreferenced, they'll be, you know, they'll live in real time where they actually land. And again, that's another layer that will flop into the GIS that's essentially a brand new updated Google Earth, you know, specifically for Lapine. And so both of those things are exciting that we'll be able to get done. And we've talked to the sub-consultant's going to do it. We've got them, we're kind of on their list as things get rolling, and then apparently winter decided to show up. So as far as LIDAR goes, you really can't do it when there's snow on the ground because then you're not getting the ground. And then imagery, that window, the best window is obviously when the sun is highest, so shoot towards April, May. And so hopefully about that time frame we'll have all of our design data from them and be marching forward there. And then as far as survey goes, there will be some design topo where, like I mentioned, the traditional surveyor coming out with this equipment to, you know, they'll go out and mark, let's say, a telephone line. They'll go out and spray paint where the telephone line is. He needs to come out and capture those. And so there will be definitely be plenty of that. And then really it's diving into wastewater design, which I know I just put a single bullet there. It's obviously a little bit more detailed than that, but that's kind of the next big picture step is once we've got things moving and have survey, it's time to dive in and start, you know, laying out collection system lines and, you know, designing pump stations and storage lagoons and things like that. So that's what's up. That's right around the corner.
Okay.
So
let's start over here. Any more questions for me?
One wild card.
Somebody had to do it.
Considering, you know, expectations there's going to be a big earthquake in the next 50 years, whatever, seismic considerations taken into this project?
Yeah, through our design process, both for the reservoir and then the storage lagoon to a lesser extent, being just an earthen thing, but the steel reservoir for the water will have seismic considerations through the geotechnical analysis and through the design. Yep. Yep.
Anything else?
I'm good. I have my questions pretty much about them.
Okay, Stu. I got a couple.
Easy crowd. I'll bring cookies every time.
Mid-State Electric talked to us at one time, the piggybacking.
Yeah.
Have you discussed anything with them? Or
we haven't yet. We need to. That will be a definitely a step that we make in design.
We have talked to them a lot, quite a bit.
Yeah.
But they will start now that when our contracts are negotiated, I imagine those discussions will start happening more.
After the fact.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
What's that, updating and going underground with some of their...
Do some joint utility work. Yeah, if we're gonna tear up some streets up there, might as well do some joint works to get some of their power underground too.
Everything's overhead up there.
Yeah, so they have an interest in doing
everything
that.
Everything overhead.
Yeah, we're overhead.
Okay, and I guess I'm always worried about money and budgets. Have you come up with a worst case scenario? Are you pretty confident as far as the prices and the budget for everything? I mean, if you have put two new pump stations in that you don't feel you have to have, you think that's all accounted for?
We're confident that it's accounted for. Again, it's an engineer's estimate, so that's, I guess I'll caveat it with that. It's our best guess for the day. Those were completed as part of the planning in 2015. And so what we did to try to hedge for the inflation and the increased construction costs that you're seeing is we inflated that cost for 3 years, I think at 5%. And so there is some growth to that. But again, it all depends on where we're at when we go to bid it. I mean, if contractors are looking for work, then you're gonna get some great numbers. If everybody's busy and the bidding environment isn't that great, they could be a little higher, so it's, That's the wild card there for sure.
Well, you know, I just worry about, okay, if the city has to come up with an extra $1 million, we'll be scrambling.
Right, yeah. And again, that's where I think we have flexibility in this process is, you know, you've got this big pot of money, and if we bid one project and we know that, hey, it's a little bit over, we might want to take a look at the remaining project and the bidding environment. And there's options to going back to like a USDA and saying, hey, this project's over budget, we need to extend our loan an extra $500,000 or whatever happens. Plus, there's a contingency. So what we've done is we evaluated the improvements and came up with an engineer's estimate. And then through the funding, we applied a 10% construction contingency. And so on the wastewater project alone, you know, of that $14 million, just over $1 million of it is contingency funding. Yeah, and so, you know, I feel like we were pretty conservative in our costs, you know, and I feel pretty good about them. But again, it all depends, especially with the projects of these size. You know, I could see local contractors really wanting to give good numbers on them. I mean, that's a nice bit of work, and especially with a three project approach. If you're a pipe guy, and you want to bid on the Cagle Glenwood projects, you're gonna do really well. I mean, it's all pipe, and miles of it. And so, you know, it'll be easier for you or that contractor to give a good number than, say, the big dirt guy that wants to build the wastewater lagoon trying to build the pipes and Cagle. And so I think that that'll also help with our bidding efficiency.
That's all sand, no rock.
Right. Right.
Looking at you.
I remember too, and I don't have the exact number off the top of my memory, but when we did the bonding authority, we put a fairly high number on there as well to Brad's recommendation.
Yep.
That gave us a little bit of a buffer as well.
Which
what that would do is it would take that number that we originally said would be, you know, under 100, and now we're pretty optimistically, realistically saying we'll be, you know, low mid 80s. That would start to creep up because we'd have to go and take more money that we would pay back through our revenue bonds.
Yep.
So whether it's contingency in the engineering, whether it's the inflation of the project estimated costs, or whether it's a little wiggle room in terms of the bonding authority, or to be honest, we're in, you know, we do have to contribute $2.5 million, which is a significant sum of what we have. But I think over the next few years, we could be in position so that we have extra contingency as well, whether it's, you know, an extra million in terms of reserves or something like that. So, from those angles, I think it
looks pretty good. The whole project could come in cheaper.
That's what we're shooting
Let's
for.
Let's look for that one.
Yeah, there you go. There's the ray of sunshine.
Yep.
Could happen. Yep.
Exactly.
It's going to happen. That's a good idea.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, and you know, going back to the whole picking the contractor and stuff, I just want council to know, I mean, I think all of us, we really tried to not give Anderson Prairie any benefit of the doubt because we worked with them and we just couldn't find it. You know, we had to rate them accordingly and they just came out so much higher and professional and everything.
We had four different score sheets, and all four of them had Anderson Prairie.
Yeah.
By several points. 5 or 10 or 20, some of them.
And then it's just really nice to have you on board because we, you know, you're part of the city.
Well, thank you. We're very excited to be involved. We appreciate it very much. This is a very, very big deal for our company. Everybody company-wide is very excited about this project. So we're very appreciative of the opportunity. Can't tell you enough.
Thank you. Are you going to stick around for the next session?
Sure. Yeah. If anybody's got any questions or anything else while we're here.
Anybody have anything else?
Not necessarily. I mean, it can be brought up now or it can be brought up later, but during the bidding process, I think I've talked to Anderson Prairie a little bit about how they typically do their bidding process through a program called Quest CDN, which requires contractors to purchase documents. And there's other ways to go about it, including the way the city does through advertising through multiple places that don't charge to do that, and that can make a difference on bidding prices too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yep. Yeah, we definitely want to broadcast it. You know, once we get these projects done, you want to get that word out as best you can. I mean, at that point, you're selling your project, and you want to get it to as many contractors as you can. So yeah, that's definitely a route and avenue we'll take for sure.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Till next time. Till next session.
There you go. Sounds good.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, Corey, this must be you updating on the TGM co-assistant phase two.
Yeah. I'll keep it fairly brief at this point. I don't have handouts. I don't want to overwhelm all of you with lots of paperwork. But I'll forward you some documents via email in the next couple of weeks. And normally I would have probably let Melissa take the lead on this one, but she is out of the country on a prearranged trip. Her son is getting married in Africa, so she'll be out until March 12th, which is, again, another reason why we kept Tammy on board, met with her and some prospective developers, big projects potentially, at the Gordy's location.
And just mentioned this was pre-planned.
Oh yeah, this was pre-arranged when we interviewed her and brought her on board. And yeah, anyway, so normally let her take the lead on this one. She's getting, she's participated in some conference calls with the state, the Department of Land Conservation and Development, Laura Buell. She was at one of the council meetings back in December, I believe, when the council adopted the TGM action plan. So that was phase one, which played out pretty much the 6 months between June 2017 and December 2017. We had the Joint Planning Commission meeting. They were identifying areas of improvement in our land use code. So changing language, streamlining it, making it easier for developers, easier for staff to utilize, and also some improvements and some changes. And then the other big component was looking at the potential for a downtown design standard and putting in some architectural elements to be determined, but at least looking into that. So phase one, like I mentioned, that laid out kind of the action plan and the scope of what the action plan was going to be addressing. January went by, February's gone quickly, and we're ready to hit the ground running again with phase two starting in March. And so March, April, May, June, July, August, September, probably into October and November, almost a year it's going to take in terms of a lot of outreach and a lot of code amendment language. And then the tail end of that process is actually going through the public noticing process to DLCD, planning commission meetings, public hearings, council meetings, of course, to formally adopt the ordinance. So that's a several month process in and of itself at the end. But where I'm going with this is that it's going to get ramping up, and in terms of keeping the project moving along at a efficient clip, there's going to be an advisory committee, and the advisory committee is going to have community stakeholders on that, but it's also going to have one rep. We work with the Angelo Planning Group, our consultant, and DLCD to come up with this. Community stakeholders, but also one representative from the Planning Commission to keep them very well plugged in on what's happening, and one rep from council is what we thought would be best. And ultimately, there will be Planning Commission meetings and more joint meetings as well as we kind of move through and hit milestone markers. But in terms of the I won't say week by week, but more regular meetings to have kind of a sounding board, the advisory committee, looking for one council member who would want to step up and be a member of that advisory committee. Details, meeting times to be determined. I can't imagine it being too much time, but I don't have those details right now. But
where does the project with the U of O fit in on that? Or does it?
It doesn't directly. It's neat that it does potentially indirectly. The U of O was pushing a class to maybe look at some building renderings through the architecture department for spring term, and looking at where we are with the downtown design overlay process, it doesn't dovetail well to have that class start in April because we're just not there yet. So I told Megan Banks, hey, maybe in the fall, next fall, you know, in September or October, it could line up well. But ultimately, they're just going to be running in parallel. There's not a lot of synergy opportunity necessarily, other than that. Other than that, it's just more improvements and projects for the city at large. Yeah. So I don't know if that answered your question.
I could foresee it.
So the short answer is no.
I could foresee us having maybe more work sessions to discuss some
council
of the stuff. Council.
We could. Yeah, I forgot to print off the tentative schedule, but they've already got every month mapped out.
Yeah, okay.
We've got project meetings, we've got advisory meetings, planning commission meetings, council meetings, and the state, they do these TGM grants all over the state, and so they have kind of a rubric that pretty much lays out the process. It's kind of a plug and play thing, and so there definitely will be council work sessions, and there will be joint meetings, you know, probably not till the summer, but the advisory committee is something that we want to utilize overall to just keep the project moving forward. So I don't know if any council members are interested in participating, or if you want to wait and learn a little more, I can send out some information. You can decide
when we do that
in March. Okay.
I'd rather kind of take a look at what it entails a little bit more before.
Yeah, okay. Before you volunteer.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
And see how it fits into my own personal timeline.
Right, exactly.
So,
Craig, you have something to say?
Just a question. Yeah, just a general, what part of the city? All of our business?
It's both. So the general, it's true. The general code assistance, the updates to the code applies to the entire city.
Okay.
So it's there's some cleanups in the residential zone, some cleanups in the commercial zone, some cleanups in the industrial zone. A lot of it's more procedures and kind of behind the scenes processes that the city has to go through in terms to abide by ORS, Oregon Revised Statutes, land use rules. So that's the stuff that doesn't change. It doesn't change what the code means. It just changes how we can administer it and how effectively and efficiently we can administer it. That applies to the whole city. The design standards are specifically looking at downtown.
Downtown, yeah.
So in the action plan, it's actually the same map that was on the front of the survey, the community survey that went out asking about downtown. That's the proposed downtown study area, looking at essentially 1st Street, 3rd, 4th, Huntington and Morrison, up to about the senior center, down to the terminus of Huntington and Morrison to the highway. That kind of little wedge. I'll send out more information and we can bring it back up on the 14th. If y'all would like to talk about it then?
Yeah, that works. Sounds great.
Okay.
Okay, that's it. On that?
Yeah, just to coming back up and work towards getting an advisory number.
Okay, let's go on to number 8, discussion regarding city council staff reimbursement policy and procedures. Do you want to just go over that, Corey? And
sure, yeah. So a combination of things, reviewing, got this down in here. Reviewing the city charter and the council rules and procedures. In the charter under Chapter 3 Council, it does say the council will receive no compensation for serving on the council. I think you all are well aware of that huge.
You say that really lots of the public cares that you don't get paid for this. You know,
pats on the back.
Not even that. Which, yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. Kudos. Kudos to all of you for that, seriously, for the public service. And then the next sentence is council members may be reimbursed for expenses they incur in serving the city. That's about as much language that the charter or the council rules and procedures at this point offers. And historically, the process that that I'm aware of that has been the practice and that is the practice is that, as all of you know, reimbursements are submitted. Staff, city manager reviews them to a degree. Mostly I'm verifying for, you know, was there a meeting at that day in that place at that time, you know, that kind of stuff. And then it goes to the council through the consent agenda process. And in past meetings, I've seen it happen where if a council member has a question with any consent agenda item, but also with reimbursements, they can pull that item and it can be a discussion point, and then the council could make a decision on that. And one piece that I have to say is that when it comes to staff reimbursements, I'm definitely comfortable letting staff know if they submit something that, hey, that's not an appropriate reimbursement. I think that's a fair place for me to say. And then if I said it was a fair reimbursement, and then it went to all of you to be approved, and then you said it wasn't, then by all means, that supersedes me. But it's a little awkward if council, who all of you are my bosses, you hire and fire me, if you submit a reimbursement and I have to then make the judgment call of, well, this one is okay, but that one's not, you know, where's that gray zone? And so ultimately, I think this agenda item is really just to kind of ask council or put it on the table to say, should that be flushed out more clearly, or is the practice that we have now, where if a council member turns in a reimbursement and it makes it to the consent agenda and someone on council doesn't think that that's appropriate. Again, it says council members may be reimbursed for expenses they incur in serving the city. If a council member pulls that and there's discussion and then a vote, that would ultimately, that could settle the item as well. So that's kind of the status quo. And I think that pretty much frames the item from my perspective at this point. So just wanted to see if people had any input on that. Should it stay, should it change?
Turb and Craig over here.
If the system's working, I'm quite happy.
Don?
I see no problem with it as we're doing it right now.
Okay.
I actually think that there's kind of an issue with it because I think it leads to The last consent agenda had two items in there that I had an issue with, but they weren't a big enough issue that I felt that we needed to pull the items, but it was a big enough issue I felt like it should be up for discussion. And in the sake of council unity and not causing issues when we're in a public meet, in our normal meeting and not a work session, I chose to just let it slide but have a discussion about it instead. But I think that
this is a public meeting too.
Well, I realize that, but in the sense of, you know, rather than sit down and have a discussion about it. But there were a couple items that I felt like maybe we should be reviewing those reimbursements at a work session where we can look it over rather than in the consent agenda where it's brought before. So that was my thoughts on it. Okay.
Stu, do you have any comments on it?
Well, seeing as this is the first I've heard of this, there's, according to our charter and bylaws, there's a procedure in place. If we neglect to follow that procedure,
then it's us.
So I think if we follow the procedures, then we should be okay. If we feel there's something that needs to be pulled, it needs to be pulled. We've done that before. Can I ask?
No, it's... Well, we have to be comfortable about if something doesn't appear right, ask a question, bring it up.
Yeah. Not be afraid to do it.
Yeah.
And on that note, real quick, just to the point of, you know, at a public meeting or making it feel like it's maybe a bigger issue than it is or whatnot, however to phrase that. What might be a good informal check is if someone has a reimbursement that they're not sure about, and this wouldn't solve the issue potentially, but it's a relatively low-hanging safeguard, would be to call the mayor or to call the council president and say, hey, do you think this is appropriate? And then you've gotten a little bit of a buy-in to a degree of whether that seems like it's a reasonable reimbursement. Because ultimately, it would, you know, if someone's submitting a reimbursement, there's four other members of the council that are weighing in. So if you've checked with one, I don't know, I'm not saying you have to do that, but I'm just saying that's an option.
Yeah. I'll say that I think when it comes to this stuff, we can't be afraid to reach out, no matter who it is, to another council member, the council president, to me, and just say, hey, this looks weird, and then have sort of a discussion, and then maybe you have a more of an input going into the consent agenda to say, hey, let's put this one aside for discussion, or, you know, let's take this one out of it and discuss it. Then it's just not one person speaking up.
Well, and that's what I don't want it to be like, hey, I'm calling you out.
Right, exactly.
You know?
So if
to me, that doesn't feel like, I mean, it's going to end up, I've sat through meetings where that's happened before,
yeah,
here.
Of course.
And it felt more like, hey, I'm calling you out, you know, rather than having a discussion about, you know, is that really reasonable for us to, as a council, to be reimbursing?
I guess, so what I'm proposing is we just keep it as it is, but if somebody has a question on the consent agenda, we get them days ahead of time. Don't be afraid to
reach out.
I'm always open. And I think between a couple people, we can have a reasonable discussion to see if it's, you know, an outrageous request or if it's, you know, should. But I think we have to do it in-house, you know, reach out to one-on-one, which isn't a problem. It doesn't affect forums or anything like that.
Right.
And, you know, between two people, it's different than one person going forward, you know.
Right.
You know, so I think from here on out, that's probably what we should start doing. See how it works.
That's fine.
You know, No, go ahead.
As long as each counselor feels comfortable doing that, I think that's the other thing is, if you don't feel comfortable doing that, then
we'll adjust accordingly.
Oh, well, no.
Let's just try this first. Yeah.
You know, okay. This is a place where, you know, we have to speak up.
Right.
You know, this.
But at the same time, I've sat through the council here before when there was more discord, and I don't want to. We have a very.
Right. We're doing good.
Exactly. We don't want to go to where there's issues between council members based on them feeling like they were being called out or them feeling like they were being ganged up on or any of that. I think we have pretty good unity, right. And that's what, you know, part of having these discussions here is to avoid.
Yes.
If we show a united front to the public, then we're stronger in the public versus if we show
discord
among council, then they lose faith in us as their representatives. And so I think that's as important as, you know, calling someone out or having that discussion, and that's why it's
And that's where if there's two people and they both agree on it, it's totally different than just one person coming forward. You know, so let's, if everybody's in agreement,
let me try to tell you how I did it last time. You know, when I went to take your place to COIC, it was the middle of the winter, and I don't drive after dark on Highway 97. And before I left, I talked to you, and I talked to you both, and told you that I was planning on spending the night up there, and asked if that was all right with you. And so I did, and I charged for the room. I didn't charge for any of the meals, but I charged for the room. And normally, if it was in the summer, I wouldn't consider spending the night up there. I'd drive home, because you can get home before dark. But after dark in the winter on the 97, I just don't drive because my eyes aren't that good. So, we have to take into consideration if the council feels that I shouldn't spend the night up here, then somebody else should take my place and go.
Right.
I mean, and that's how I handled it. So I don't know how anybody else feels about it.
Well,
but I tried to handle it in advance, not full of surprise.
And that can be adjusted accordingly. Somebody else can step up to the plate to be the.
That's right.
You know, because the last thing I want to do is say, Don, you got to drive home. And have something happen. I'm sorry.
No,
we don't ever want that.
No, I understand that.
So.
And I don't want it because I want to come in the next day and the next night.
Well, yeah, we want to see you the next day.
Well, and the paycheck you get from the city for doing that isn't going to cover your motel.
Oh, man, I get such a big amount.
I get twice as much as you.
Zero times zero.
And 10 times the recognition.
So moving forward, is that sort of agreeable with everybody?
I think so.
I mean, pick out somebody and then just.
It's fine with me.
Like I said, I just, in the sake of, you know, for the sake of unity, I'd just rather see it handled a little bit different than just.
No, that's what we're here for. That's good. Okay, Craig? Well, let's just keep it like it is. You know, if I have a question on something, I usually say, hey, Corey, what do you think about this? But from now on, I'll reach out to a council member. You know, I don't want to put Corey on the. Because he is an employee of us.
Right.
And
you
shouldn't be going to
council.
We shouldn't be going to Corey with any issues that involve council. They should involve other council people.
Right.
So, okay, any more said on this one? Okay, we'll move ahead on. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. We'll do something different.
We'll figure it out.
Yep. Okay, we didn't have any other matters. Public comments over there? Any public comments? Gary, don't fall asleep on us. Nothing?
There's cookies.
Okay, staff comments? Corey, you want to start off?
Sure. A few things. The 14th of March is going to sneak up on us pretty quick, basically 2 weeks from now. And we're going to have, obviously, a regular session. But we're also working with legal to having an executive session that probably, there's two main items at this point, but
will probably be a fairly lengthy executive session. I don't know overall what the entire agenda is going to look like, but I'll have a better sense at that point. It might be one of those meetings we start at 5:30 and maybe provide food. We'll reach out ahead of time as the agenda takes a little better
shape. Point to me when you say
no,
to
I didn't mean to. I ended up angled this way, so I didn't.
I'll discuss this with you later.
Sorry.
The only thing I have to say to that is the public knows that we start our regular session at 6 o'clock. So if we have the executive session for an hour, we should start at 5 to make sure our regular session starts at the same time all the time.
That could be our goal, yeah. Yeah, we can aim towards that.
It's just a couple times people have come in here and say, hey, I didn't know you were starting at 5:30.
Gotcha.
You know, even though it's posted and everything else, it's just...
No,
still,
I think it's consistent. That's good for having public in attendance.
So. Yeah.
And we've shifted that. We've gotten rid of for a while we were going 5:30, 6:30. Now we've just been doing 6. And then, you know, if there's a special session, we try to do that after the regular session. And we maybe could even do that. We could even have the executive session after the regular session.
When it comes to the attorney.
But we
got to
get Jeremy involved,
right.
And that's
so
kind of
might
the wild
be
card.
And then the executive when the public's
not. They're not. The public's not involved. We'll reach out. Early next week when we have a better sense in terms of scheduling that.
And usually it always includes our city attorney, so
yes,
we don't want to have him charge us overtime.
I won't even bring up the items. We'll cross that bridge as we head towards that. You'll get memos the day of, and we'll have time to discuss during that. Let's see, what else? I mentioned the TGM, that's ramping back up. Sustainable City Year is plugging along. We've got some presentations that are going to be occurring at the Senior Center on March 16th, which is a Friday. We'll send out a reminder email, but the urban renewal presentations and the economic development presentations through the business class, those students will be here, and we'll let the public know. They'll basically have it all day from, I think, 10 to 3. There's a chamber breakfast that morning, and then they'll take
the
space.
Is this the one that got canceled?
No, this is their final presentations.
Oh,
so they've been working
presentation.
For
okay.
A couple months, and they'll actually be presenting their findings. The event that was scheduled last weekend has been rescheduled for this Saturday. Hopefully,
okay.
The email went out for those of you that registered.
I totally had it in my brain. It was Friday. Saturday?
That one's Saturday at the library.
Somebody
yes.
Said Friday by mistake, but it was Saturday.
Right.
It's been Saturday, and it's set for Saturday.
Okay.
That one's on for this Saturday. If any council members are planning to attend that and interested, I think there will be someone from the journalism department, the videography class, who would be interested in interviewing, kind of informally, but interviewing any of you, asking some questions.
A different interview than the last interview we did with them?
Which one was the last interview?
After we did at the library.
Did you do one with them last time?
That I don't think that was communication. They interviewed different people at the senior center. The communication
at the library.
Was it one-on-one, like just you and
yeah,
someone with a camera?
Yeah, they would.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not
oh.
With a camera, but with it, they would just.
This would be on. I'm sorry. So when I say interview, I'm meaning basically ask you some questions on camera to then incorporate into a video that they're producing about the SMICE small city pilot in Lapine and the partnership. So it'd be more, asking about your role as a council member, your role in the community, the partnership with Sustainable City Year, that type of stuff. So we'll send an email out, and if any of you are interested, we'll do some coordinating tomorrow and can kind of line up an opportunity maybe at the front end of that event or at the end.
If anybody wants to know, I'm definitely going to be there. So,
okay.
Stu, you can put a tie on that day.
Got it on now.
I'm
is that this
Saturday?
Yeah. I can this Saturday. I won't next.
No, it's this Saturday.
Yeah, a few days from now. A
couple days.
Okay.
Are
well,
they providing
it, it'd just be nice to have one or two council members there.
You said
one
to four?
Yeah, but I mean, you might not have to stay there the whole time.
Yeah.
And, is that what you mean by coordinating? You'll figure out like an interview time?
Or? Yeah, mostly just wanted to let them know, and then they could, you know, they might pull you aside during the event. I don't know those logistics yet. But
I'll send the email out.
Yeah, and as long as a few of you are going to be there, I'll tell them that the council's interested, and then they can, you guys can kind of find the time. It'd be a 5-10 minute thing.
They asked when they were here last time anybody would be interested in following up, and I signed up for it. They sent me emails for every time that they planned everything, and they sent me an email that they didn't do it last week, and they sent me another email to make sure that I was going to be there this week.
Oh, good.
I'm getting emails from about three different people over there.
And all kinds of, yeah, there's...
It's stuff's
they're reaching out,
flying
there's
around,
no
good.
About.
Which is good.
Yeah,
that's good. I'm not complaining.
Yeah, it's busy. It's going to get busier. We're working on lining up classes for spring term. Spring term is going to start April 2nd, so that's up a month from tomorrow. It's going to go fast. Keeping busy with public works stuff here and there. Yeah, that's all I got for staff comments at this point. And other than I'm going to say, because I have to do it, I will be sending out one of those manager memos this Friday, and I'll be taking an opportunity to do that more regularly on a scheduled basis, and being able to flush out some of my thoughts and sharing information and giving all of you as much insight and information as possible.
Those are great when you have sent them out.
I need to get back on the wagon of doing that every 2 weeks and block the time and just do it. So that's my goal, and I'll stick to it.
You're next.
Yeah, busy February. Tomorrow's March 2018. It's hard to believe. Did take a week off this last month, which was nice. Took a little breath, went on a guys trip with some friends, and did a little reflecting, which was kind of nice. I've almost been here for 2 years now, which is crazy to think about.
Yes. Hard,
but
hard,
I mean,
we've realize.
Hit some milestones in that process looking back, and some of the things we've done in the last few years. It's exciting. Lapine's moving in the right direction. Telemetry kicked off this month. It's in full force. It's working. It's finding little problems out there for us like it should be doing, which is great. Other than that, it's going to be a busy spring.
Yeah.
I'm partnering up with Anderson Perry. We're going to start kicking off some serious work here pretty quick.
Looking ahead on that one, are you you're comfortable with the role of the city with them and everything?
Yes, very comfortable.
Think it's going fine?
Yes.
Okay. And you'll speak up if it doesn't. So.
Yeah. Of course, it's February, March is coming up. We're gearing up for budget. So we're identifying big projects that we want to take care of this year, aside from these big projects that are coming. Little projects to keep our systems running. Just trying to identify those and look at what we can improve on from last year's budget. Just keeping that process going. Yeah.
Okay, great.
No shortage of stuff to do around here.
Good. We'll keep you busy. Holly.
I don't have anything.
Oh, come on.
Don't you have a final survey count or anything for us?
You got the new survey.
713, I think.
713.
That's pretty good.
That's great.
On that note, we're trying to get the kind of the steering committee together to talk next steps probably in the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
And they should have a draft report in the next couple weeks as well, which we're planning to discuss at the upcoming Urban Renewal Agency meeting, which I think we're shooting for the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would discuss it at council the next day as well. So 2 weeks, stay tuned. We should have some good insights from that.
And how about this other survey that Sustainable City was wanted?
That's still ongoing.
And that's going to go on until what?
The 9th of March.
Okay. I'm doing a phone interview with Sustainable City here tomorrow morning. Okay. I'm not exactly sure on what, but it is a phone interview.
Good.
Phone one or a fun one?
Phone. And fun.
And fun.
I keep it light.
Okay, we're going on to council comments. Let's go.
Just that there was some hectic things going on at the school, and a big anti-bullying kind of thing going on through the middle school and the high school. KTVZ has been doing a big story on it, but other than that, I have to go right now, so I can't stay for the next part of the session. So,
just one question: How are the students feeling about that?
About the bullying?
About the bullying and the report of it. And
there's a lot of talk. I mean, everyone has a different view on it, and everyone's kind of starting to spread different things, so it's good that we're, like, the teachers have been sending out things to keep everyone updated directly on, like, on the threat issue. They sent out a memo that all the teachers read in their fifth period about what exactly happened, and that got sent home to all the parents and stuff. So the teachers are in administration are doing really good at keeping everyone informed on what's going on. And then for the bullying thing, that's kind of more on the down low, I guess, in terms of the students reacting to it, but the teachers have all had their say in it, I would guess. So
you're comfortable that everything is being taken care of and moving ahead?
I think we're starting to progress, and I think the way they handled the threat issue was actually well done. So that was pretty good.
And again, thanks for coming to these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Boring for you, but.
My pleasure. I love it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ruben.
Craig.
Another interesting meeting tonight. Mm-hmm. Appreciate all the comments and open discussions. It's good.
We got one more meeting to go, so. Okay, Don, what do you have to say?
I think I'm really happy with what we've accomplished tonight, and in bringing this proposed plan to us, I think it makes a lot of sense, and I think that it's going to help us when we talk to people in the community. I think it kind of gives us a regular guideline to go by.
Mm-hmm. Not a whole lot really about tonight. I did chat with Corey earlier, a week and a half ago or so, about a lot of us are on boards for different COIC, you know, COCO and all those different boards, but getting more involved maybe in the city of Alpine and what's going on here. And we talked about maybe him putting a staff person, not a council member,
yeah,
on like the parks, as a liaison at the Parks Department for their board meetings, at the chamber for their events and stuff, so that we were, they were able to update us as far as what's going on in those different agencies, so we have more of a hands-on, you know.
I know Melissa went to Parks and Rec board meeting. That's all good.
So,
but communication.
Yeah, exactly.
More and more and more. Can't get enough of it.
Trying to do that collaboration throughout the community with the different entities,
yeah,
and working together. And I don't know, I think I maybe had pitched the council member idea. And
I turned around and said,
yeah,
staff.
And Donnie, which I understand. You know,
well, we don't,
your guys,
you know, that bad
time
burden on them when they work all day long. So you have, yeah, okay.
We're putting
well,
in
a lot of their meetings that we're talking about are during the day.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're, you know, once a month, so we're going to put it on our staff meeting, and we're going to discuss internally and kind of maybe see if it makes sense, and then we'll update all of you on that approach. But I think it makes, you know, I would certainly, if I had the time, I'd like to be at every park meeting every month, every fire district meeting every month, possibly chamber, possibly other organizations, just to stay plugged in, to let them see us and us see them and listen and understand how we can cross-coordinate.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so
yeah,
we're going to talk about it internally. We'll update you.
Great. Good idea.
Goes.
Stu, anything?
Well, that would have been a good topic for a work session. That, you know, because it's the city council that gives direction to the city manager, who directs staff. So that would have been a good discussion for a work session. I like the idea.
What I recommend is let us talk about it at the staff meeting and find out if we think it's feasible, given how much we're all juggling and looking at other organization meeting times, and kind of sketch out what it would look like and how it would function if we think it'd be worthwhile. And then we'll bring it back in 28 days, March 28th at the work session, and we'll have it as an agenda item.
Yeah, okay.
On that meeting
day. That sounds great. Okay, any other council comments from anybody? I'll do my comments. I do go to the chamber board meeting every month. That's 8 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, the second, third Friday, or whatever it is. And part of that is just so they don't badmouth the city too bad. You know, because they have a habit of doing that. sorry, that's just the way it is. You know, so, you know, I know different council members are really involved in all the events that go on in the city, and in anybody, you know, can go to these things, like the, you know, the Queen getting announced for the Rodeo Coronation. Queen. You know, different stuff like that. I try to go to them, but I can't go to everything. You know, it just gets overwhelming. But, and we'll talk about that at the work session at the same time. The other thing is I went to the county commissioners meeting this morning and probably made one commissioner a little upset because the land that they were going to give us, the anchor lot for the, you know, for to try to build the incubator building and the rental building, they wanted to add a restriction on it of no marijuana. And that just annoyed me somehow, like, the marijuana issue is over and done with in La Pine. And they were bringing it back up because they have some major marijuana issues in the county itself.
Yeah.
So I made a few statements up there, and I think, you know, they made pretty much sense. The main thing is we have a very professional staff down here. We have a very professional council down here, and I'm sure we're capable of taking care of our land in the city of La Pine without their demands or a thumbprint or being a big brother. And end result, we got the land with no stipulations on it.
Well, good job.
So we moved ahead, and that's, you know, I talked at length with Lewis, and he said, well, this is good to do it up front, because when it happens again, then, you know, we've set a precedent down the rule. We aren't going to allow that. Because we are a city now. We're doing a great job. Staff's doing a great job. Council's doing a great job. We don't need them to add another twist in it. So I was actually happy and pretty proud that we did that today. So, and at the same time, I didn't tell you yet, but we talked to Chris Doty the other day, Corey, I, and Jake, you know, about the roads, and they're going to come up with a long-range plan, taking all. But I brought up that, you know, we'd like the maintenance control of the Wickham Park and Ride, so we can fix it up, make it look nicer. And Lewis said today, don't worry, all we'll do is write a letter requesting that it's turned over to the city, and it's a done deal.
Jurisdiction over that corner piece right there.
You know, just so we can make it look nice, because I think it looks pretty ugly.
Yeah, it does.
You know, and then that's adding the Wicked right. Area, and maybe we can even get a sign up there.
Even us getting that lift station was kind of a hard process, because there was Deschutes County jurisdiction over some of that property.
Yeah.
And we had a building with infrastructure on it, and it's kind of complicated things.
So Chris talked to Lewis, and Lewis has actually mentioned it. He says, there's no big deal on that one. They'll just write a letter to the commissioners, and they'll sign it, and it'll get turned over. So we'll follow up on that. Or
I think Chris Doty was all for it, too, if I remember right.
Yeah, he was all for it. You know, because they don't do the maintenance.
No, they don't, obviously.
They don't do anything. It's
got great potential. And I think, you know, I think we were kind of waiting on that one because of the overpass and what it was going to do there.
It was going to totally change it.
So we were kind of curbing that one for a later date, so I think it's kind of time now to kind of relook at that.
You know, and they even said they'll kick in money.
Right.
For the improvements.
So then you'll have to pay that.
They did.
Or you'll have to plow that and stuff.
What's that?
The city will have to plow that and everything then.
It'll be ours, but they'll continue doing the maintenance. You know, we're actually doing them a favor. So they
can. We can form an agreement where maybe they still do some road plowing services through there, and we do all the landscaping and that kind of maintenance.
The thing, you know, I think it's a great idea, because especially when they volunteered to kick in money, you know, to do it. So you know, they have a park and rec park fund, but it's not big enough to do anything with. But it'd be big enough to give some money out for that. So maybe we could put new grass, water.
Refence it,
you know, put maybe a sign.
Some boulders, some bunch grasses.
You know, so a sign that says, you know, Wickham Junction, La Pine, or something, to make, just that northern area more noticeable.
Gets it out. It's been kind of just in limbo, I feel like. And the county, you know, they've got bigger worries about, which is, I mean, I don't fault them, but it's significant to us. So
and even sense. Like Tammy Bain today, she'd love to just give us the industrial park. That's her whole opinion, but we've heard that, and nobody else. Anderson doesn't want to go out because he feels they got to get something in trade. So this, we're doing them a favor by taking the Woodfield party, right? So they it was interesting to go up there today. That's one of the fun parts of the job, is to mouth off to the commission.
there was an article in this morning's paper about their marijuana problem with donating the place to the city.
Right, there was an editorial too on it.
Yeah, both.
You know, and my comment to Mr. Henderson was, don't bring the city of Pine into your problems. and both other commissioners agree with it. So, you know, we don't need to rehash marijuana. We've been there, done that. It's organized.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's it. This got long. Somebody want to make a motion to adjourn this meeting?
Motion to adjourn.
Second motion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Meeting adjourned. You want to take a 5-minute break?
Let's just do it.
Or you want to just go ahead?
Go for it.
I'm going to use the restroom.
Take five. Take five.
Two.